I think clearly you have to keep him. Everybody agree to that? Idle? Yeah, now Idle's kind of tricky because of his average purse value and the fact that he is coming up two levels. For my own handicapping, any horse that won his last race, I accept. Now, whether you want to do that or not, that's up to you. The fact that he ran for 32 is going to be enough to eliminate him when we start doing the variant process. Yeah, we did that. But again, I'll tell you, my the way I work the contenders is based on a long-range probability. And that tells me that any horse that won his last race is a contender for me. Any horse that got beat at this level in his last race, I mean at a lower level in his previous race, is not a contender for me. And that holds right 95% of the time over time.
I understand that.
But again, it's right for me in terms of statistical probability, and that's what I do. Now, if you want to add Valiant Georgian, that's fine. You're going to find that he won't come up anyway. Idle is not going to win this race on paper, but I accept that, okay, walking in. But for me, he's a contender, at least on the first go-down. Now, if the race should happen to match up well for him in terms of early pace and the rest of it, he might be a double tough contender in here. As it turns out, it's not going to. Trusty Danis. Anybody want this horse? I do too, Jim. He's definitely part of the pace here. He got beat in the last strides by Olajuwon last time out. I think probably you have to use him. You'll find that there's other pace in this race, though. Lead On. Who wants to keep Lead On in here? Can I have a show of hands as to Lead On? Who wants to keep it in here? All right. Who wants to eliminate Lead On? And I guess I'm going to ask you why. One person.
Don't mind embarrassing yourself.
The last two races were on the turf, so I really am not sophisticated enough to evaluate that.
Okay.
It's a third race. And if you go back, he ran at 80, which is tremendously high. So if you eliminate the two turfs, it can take a tremendous drop in value from a May race.
Yeah.
So I guess I put myself
in. You talked yourself into keeping him, yeah.
Buck Ahoy. Here's another one beaten by one of Latore's horses. I eliminated Buck Ahoy for a couple of reasons. First of all, because of the, if nothing else, I eliminated it because of the early energy figure from his last race. Remember I told you that if you're going to bet somebody routing, you want a horse that sprints below the pars. If you look at this horse, from the half mile to the finish, this horse lost over 10 lengths. That's going to give you bad early energy. And I don't accept this kind of a horse in a route. If you want to, try to find a pace line. He was eased on June 22nd, which is kind of scary. The race before that, he could beat 11 lengths. Now, a lot of these horses running up there, Gray Missile for one, had lost for 32 the other day. So they're not knockouts. So if you want to deal with that horse, fine, but I would eliminate it. Impulsively, this one is the key to the exacta, incidentally. 2% average purse value, since it was earned up north, is pretty representative. Do you want to keep this horse in or not? It is. It really is. And that's a key here, I think, in this race for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's the first time he's been in a claimer for a while. His last race was run on a racetrack that closers have almost no chance. Pleasanton, on the other hand, has much the same profile that Del Mar requires. But Solano, whoever was in the lead, was the winner. Now, you got to know that.
All right. Exactly. It was a good track.
It was a very simple analyze. Early pace, that was it.
You got to know that.
I'm telling you that here, and it's going to be in the selection of pace lines where it's really going to be important here in a moment. But you got to accept the horse because he was running. It's the first time he's been in a claiming price for a while. He was running against better up north. And anybody that knows the Southern California racing knows that Ascension and Honor Medal are both clearly better than $50,000 horses, the ones in the second race back. And that's another reason I chose that pace line. I was able to look at that and say, I know those horses are at least this good. Yes?
You made a statement a few minutes ago in your eliminations that you said if they lost at a lower level that you eliminate, which you did with Valiant George on Trust Adonis, which lost at 40,000, you didn't eliminate it. Why?
Okay, there's a kicker to that, and that is, were you in the class when I gave out my contender guidelines? Okay, one of the qualifiers in that, I had three basic guidelines. One of them is a horse dropping in class, another one a horse that won one of his last two, and the third one was a horse that finished close up at the level or higher in its last two. One of the exceptions, there were three exceptions to that, one of which is a sprinter who clearly wants to stretch out because of the early energy pattern. Another one happens to be if the last race, even at a lower level, was a good race off of a layoff. I'm not trying to impose those on you, though. I know Dick Schmidt uses them.
Do you have any more of those?
One more qualifier. That was if the horse was claimed in its last race or two and has a little back class. That's the only other qualifier.
Are you going to give out all of that?
No, I'm not. I mean, it's not part of the methodology itself. It's something I've developed. But it's in the long run, it's 93. I did give it out, but we're not going to publish it or anything like that. But in terms of long-range probability, the winner will still be held 93 to 95% of the time, overtime.
Do you buy that green job?
Yeah, is it in there? Okay.
All right. And those just flat work. I used them for a long, long time, and I did roughly 600 races to determine that those were valid. The first three that I gave you, dropping in class, winner in one of the last two, or finished what you would consider to be good, a good effort in one of the last two at the level or above, are the three basics. That kept the winner in 88% of the time. By including the three qualifiers, the sprinter obviously wanting to stretch out with some class, the claim in one of the last two with some back class present on the chart, and the horse that finished a fair effort off of a layoff in its last start, with those three qualifiers, that pumped that up between 93 and 95%, depending on which meeting you're playing with. Now, sometimes you wind up with more than five contenders. Occasionally, you wind up with one contender as a result of that, but not very often.
If you would put four other contenders in there to make your
money. Not always. I just go to the window. I put five in some of these. Now, at Hollywood Park, there was a horse called Friendly Leader that won and paid $7.60 or $7.80. It was the only one left in after applying those guidelines. The only one. Now, I just went to the window. Okay. But those just flat work. Yes?
One quick comment. I would say if you leave the winner in 93% of the time,
yeah,
that is what I call vector magnetism.
Yeah. it is, but as you look through it, it's fairly generous, though. Sometimes you wind up with a few too many contenders that you have to go ahead and strike afterward.
Sometimes you'll find 8 or 10.
Yeah, some of these races, you'll have a lot of contenders based on that. So, I mean,
down in races maybe where the public might be a little confused.
Oh, sure.
Horses look better to them than they really are.
Most of the upsets, incidentally, in that were in maiden claiming type races and $10,000 claiming races. So in better quality races, those guidelines are very strong. So I offer them to you for what they were. Yeah, you'll lose an occasional winner. Don't shoot me. Just consider the long range. Yes.
Have you used those criteria and the database that's available to you over thousands of races?
No, I used it roughly. I did it manually 2 years ago, over 600 races. Did not apply it any further than that. That was good enough for me. It was good enough for Schmidt. It's good enough for Purdy. Some of the rest of them are using that. I don't go any further with it. Occasionally, I spot check just to make sure nothing's changed on me. Bay Meadows, you'll find more upsets in that. Okay, because form is more of condition and form is more important up there than some of the class, because of the lower claiming races, right? So you'll find more upsets to that extent. A horse that finishes well at 12.5 steps up to 16 and wins, just because he's the only sharp horse left. Okay, a little different game. Still pretty solid, but you have to be a little more flexible. And I would suggest doing a little study up there if you want to play those.
Call them guidelines, not rules.
They're not rules.
Okay. Let's get some pace lines. Elijah won. is clearly the last race. Stickette. Here's an interesting one. What race do you want to use on Stickette?
May,
back 3 months.
June. Any other choices?
Okay. I got to tell you, the 8 June race is not a bad. I would not use May 18. I used July 12th. And I used it for a couple of reasons. The Barland, Bozina, I'm familiar with those horses in terms of the quality of those horses, so I wasn't afraid of using that particular race. I didn't want to go any further back than that because here's a horse that wins by three lengths on May 18th. For some reason, and I like Danny Velasquez as a trainer, for some reason he sprints the horse next time. I have no idea. The horse has never sprinted well, even when he was a three-year-old. And then he's laid up for over a month, comes back in a handicap. Barland and Bozina are basically 62-5 non-winners of two or three horses. And the horse has beaten 7 lengths in the field. To me, that was a serious deterioration in form, and I stuck with that last race. Now, if you want to use the June 8th race, you'll probably wind up with the same figure you will off the last one anyway. So I wouldn't be too concerned that I don't think you can go far wrong on that horse. That one's kind of an open door. Just be concerned that I have no idea what happened on May 18th when you relate it to the next two races. Idle, even though it was very wide into the stretch, it was also a solid race, and I would use that one. The one before that just knocked it down unnecessarily, and that was off of the last race was off of a 6-month layoff. Trusty Dennis used the last race. Pretty hard to use anything else on that horse. And again, we want that horse in there basically to analyze pace, if nothing else. Now, lead on is also a little more difficult in terms of pace line selection. Who'd like to use the last race on lead on? Pardon?
I would.
I did too.
Sure?
I did too.
Yeah, I did.
You're into one of these least of all evil situations. You want to go back to May 11th, a poor race at 80. You want to go back to March 9th. You want to go back to April 6th. Apparently, the horse needed a little freshening in there. And about the only race I would be able to pick there is the one against Sandy's Eagle the last time out. Now, remembering that everything is crucial in terms of your early-late relationships when you analyze all of this later on. Does anybody violently disagree with using that race? If when you walk out of here, will you use that race? Okay, you did. Okay, good. Yeah.
I used that race, but what kind of adjustments do you make with
the turf? Well, we're going to do that.
The same process that we did up here covers your turf to dirt. See, it's the same process does that. Impulsively, for the reasons I gave you, I used the second race back. But that's a little internal inside information. I happen to know, first of all, the quality of Honor Medal and Ascension better than I do Armin, who had not been running for a while in Pair of Aces. Plus, I also know that Solano is biased terribly toward early speed, and chances are Impulsively had little or no chance in that race. Okay. If I were going to eliminate one, if you can only do a 5, I'd probably eliminate Impulsively. He was the key to the exacta, but I mean, in all candidness, I would probably eliminate Impulsively if I had to have it to 5. I couldn't get it to 5. Okay, and for a moment I had 7 until I looked at Valiant George and realized that he didn't fit my guidelines anyway, and I eliminated it. Okay, it's not an easy race, and it's not supposed to be, and one of the reasons it's fourth in the series here was that we wanted to deal with a little easier ground up front. So let's take a look then on page 33 again. The Olajuwon race through the variant program gives a raw of 55-20. I chose an arbitrary par of 54.75 for this race. So back to Olajuwon, the initial adjustment is minus 0.45, and the class adjustment is minus 0.15 because he's up a level. Everybody see how that one's done? Stickett, the initial adjustment on Stickett is minus 0.53, and I gave the horse the benefit of a 2-class-level drop here, which may have been overly generous, but beating 7 lengths is not going to matter a hell of a lot. In fact, I might have eliminated Stickett here, except for the APV. Idle, a raw of 55.28, the initial adjustment of minus 0.53, class of minus 0.25. And I agree with whoever said Idle was life and death to win at 2 levels lower. Why would you bet him here? Trusty Dennis, I gave the same adjustments that I gave Olajuwon because they come out of the same race. A lead on. The raw of 55.81. Now, to the answer to the question as to what do you do for turf to dirt, you do the same thing we've been doing. You make it a minus 1.06 to get it to the par. You're pretty much locked into using pace of the race in all of these anyway, because you have no idea how the winner performed in that particular race that you're using anyway. So use pace of the race, and it's minus 1.06, no class adjustment because it was at $50,000. Impulsively, the raw was 54.30, initial adjustment plus 0.45. And now, can everyone in the room make all these adjustments now? Anybody that can't, just holler.
Sure. The plus 0.45, that's based on the climax handicap being 3 levels?
No, it's based on the arbitrary par that I chose for this race. It's 54.75. The initial
adjustment on these horses is to bring it up to the par for the race. Then we'll play around with class levels.
I am, but
I'm going to finish it now. The first initial adjustment is plus 0.45. Now, I decided that the class level, and I was probably too hard on this horse, to be honest with you, is about a half a level. When in actuality, I think probably Honor Medal and Ascension are at least a level above these. But I used half a level to be on the safe side. I don't want to promote somebody unnecessarily.
That's taken care of. That is.
You're saying...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know what I did. The reason I only gave it a half is that I determined that I took away from a track class. Okay, so I took 2 levels away from track class, even though it was a higher class race, and I gave the horse 2.5 levels in terms of the level. I'm sorry if this sounds clouded. You just have to work through this, and after you've done it a few times, you'll be able to make some of those calls.
When we do the unscanned version of it, we're going to show you a par generated exactly how I did it.
And you will. Some of these will become intuitive after a while, once you understand the structure and what you're doing. And I don't mean to cloud you or do a kind of a dance on this horse. It's just that if you want to take this a step beyond, you're going to have to analyze some of these things from that point of view.
Tom, how much higher did you rate that stakes race above $50,000 claim?
I gave it 2.5 levels. Honor Medal
is a classified level allowance type performer. Ascension is a non-winners of 3 and has been stakes placed. And impulsively, of course, you see is what you get. Yes.
Go back in the charts and see where I can keep all your charts and see where our metal is running.
Sure.
If you want to go, yeah, and that's the way to do it. That's the way I do. And like I say, I'm trying not to make any quantum leaps here from one thing to the other. And if I have lost anybody, I'm sorry. It's something you have to work through on your own. But this is the process. Asher.
Tom, I'm getting back to lead on that turf race.
Yeah.
In my recollection, I happen to handicap this race before.
Right.
And in my recollection, or my opinion, that in Hollywood Park, the turf races are running faster than the dirt races.
No question about it.
Pardon?
No question about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So therefore, what I did, since the numbers I was getting from the other horses were dirt, and this was turf, I penalized this horse. rather than this case, I see you actually gave the horse benefit of the speed.
No, sorry. I took over 1 foot per second away from him.
You took away. I apologize for that.
Okay.
I read it incorrectly.
I'll accept your apology.
Stickett, was the class 0.25, was that a function of the track also?
The quality of that race. If you take a look at your own claiming structure, you'll realize, or your racing structure, you'll realize that Barland and Bozina is about a $62,500 to an $80,000 horse, and Barland is a non-winners of three, and I think, he's still a non-winners of three. Maybe he's a non-winners of four now, I'm not sure. He ran second in a classified allowance the other day. Let's take a look at the numbers for a minute. Well, this is out of order.
Yeah,
here.
I know.
Oh, okay.
You can tell him about that.
All right, page 39. Then we'll work on that out of order. There's a couple of important observations to be made here. There are three horses tied for the top factor W or average pace. One of the horses is Trusty Dennis. And I mentioned to you earlier that the model for Del Mar is slightly towards sustained. Now, Trusty Dennis is a two early versus a four sustain, which is wrong direction. Plus, not the top early pace horse, which means that it's going to have to run a little faster if it wants to be in front, which is probably going to distort that 2-4 to a 1-5 if it's able to get the lead. Can everyone make that conclusion okay? Because these numbers sometimes lie to us. Okay, that's one. Stickett. That last race is inexplainable. As you can see, it's a 1-5 on this, and the horse has never been a 1 anything. It's just that happens to be the type of race it was in. Let's take a look at Impulsively. Impulsively is a 5 early, 2 sustained. Now, that's a little off the model also. And if you look at the early energy on Impulsively at 50.71, that's a little wrong. Remember, I gave you a range of 51.4 to 52.2. Now, here's the key to the race. Lead on. Number one, average pace, 6 early, 1 sustained, which is also off the model. Early energy 49.4. Please understand one thing. Do not get locked into some of these rankings. Understand that he comes from the turf course. The turf course requires a distinctly different running style than the dirt course. So when you have a horse coming off the turf, they're almost always going to be 6-1s or 5-1s or something. So you've got to take that and weigh that against the average purse value, which is high in the race at 130, 139, and consider that he is not as slow early as that indicates. And that's one of the reasons this race was chosen, because it's first of all, the $12 mutual on lead on is worth spending a few moments on this. Now, that is not any kind of a magical choice or decision at all. You have to think through that process when you're doing these races. When you use internal fractions from a route and make it a sprint, understand that sometimes the early-late relationships are a little wrong and the early energy thing is a little wrong. When you're using a horse from the dirt, moving it onto the turf, and vice versa, the early energies are going to be a little wrong there, too.
You're saying that 49 is normal for turf. This wouldn't be that way.
Way off the dirt. Just because of the
requirement on the turf. They just hold, especially at Hollywood Park, they hold the horses until they straighten out and let them all go. That's why there's so much traffic on the turf.
50.04 early, today's distance, on the turf.
So that's tricky. You know, if you again will not lock into these rankings, even though he's still tied for number one average pace, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, just realize that 6-1, is it a 6-1? Isn't necessarily so. Anybody have any problem with that? You disagree with the conclusion? That's the kind of thing you have to make for yourself if you're going to win 70 or 75%, whatever you're trying to get to. You've got to be able to do that.
Now, in fact, if that bothered you and took one of those dirt races just to see what his early relationship would be, would that change it?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
That's another way around this, too, is to go back and find a couple of races that would correspond to what's being run today and check out the early energy when the horse is in the right conditions. That's a good point, and I often do that myself.
In anticipation of questions concerning
using the dirt pace line and turf pace line as opposed to today's dirt distance, the page is a little out of order. Get to page 42. When we redo this, we'll correct it. On page 42, we use your power generator program to find an energy figure to which we could equate all the horses in this race. The three distances were a mile and a 16th, a mile and an 1/8, and a mile. Tom used 54.75, I believe. If you were to average the pace lines of the horses, you would get 54.86, pretty darn close. The bottom figure of 55.83 is for lead on. The middle figures for the mile and an 1/8, and the average of that 2 mile and a 16th was 54.51. All I did was adjust everybody to the mile and a 16th, which is 54.51. But I went through the process just to show you how you could have done the same thing to get the same figures. That's a par generator that you see on the upper half, page 42. Any questions on getting those energy figures?
Where did you get the 2 mile and 16th?
I took them off the 2 mile and 16th of the races we used.
Idle's
mile and 16th. Okay.
There were only a couple of them were Old Jawan's race was applied to several of them, and so there were only the different ones. Idle and Valiant George were in the same race, so there were only three or two of them. There were 2 mile and 1/8 and a mile. So that was how we did it there. If you wanted to use, he came very close to Tom's figure, 0.10 off, 0.11 off. I could have used his. I did use his, incidentally, in one of the readouts. Got the same thing. I took two lead-on pace lines. It's mile and it's mile and a 16th, in case any of you might have said, well, you were overly giving the horse an overly advantage situation by taking the mile, so let's take the mile and 16th. You'll notice that in one of them he has the top rating and the other one he has a second top rating. If you throw the one with the top, the second top then becomes the top. So he's number one regardless. And he's been minus adjusted considerably, 2 point something, or what, 1 point something. He's had an adjustment of one from three is two. 1.32 minus adjustment he's got. That's a pretty good penalty for him to still come out number one. So we didn't play around with the horse, giving him any advantage, and he took away everything from him. I thought a lot of you would say, I want to leave Valiant George in, so I put him in. As you see, he comes out fifth. So that a lot of times these figures will justify those things which Tom has been doing automatically for you. This is the race I was telling you about where Tom's precise use of adjustments will make you those few extra dollars. UltraScan did not get impulsively, other than the fact that he was the second best late pace horse on UltraScan. He had a perfect counter energy model. The two sustained horses were lead on and impulsively. They were your lowest early energy, your best sustained energy. If you got him with UltraScan, you got him purely on that. Well, Tom got him right up on the top by making those precise adjustments. This is a real good example of how that little extra work will get you the in this case $500 and some odd, $502. The only other way you would have got him was with energy. I don't know. I didn't play the race, so I can't honestly say I would have thrown him in my exacta. Had he been 132% of purse, I sure would have, but at 92%, no. Impulsively sticks out even, I mean, lead on it sticks out even more highly on my average purse value, which is slightly higher than Tom's. I got a 1.63. This uses the old phase three class adjustment. Throws in earnings per start in the money percentage. The main obstacle we want to overcome here is those persons who think that you cannot take a dirt race pace line and use it on the turf or vice versa. The penalty was severe, and yet it did throw it out of contention.
That's not the optimum situation, but in the case of lead on, it was about the only game you had. And impossibly, I mean, I don't know how often you're going to get that in 100 times. I mean, it's just a matter of you have to know the structure. You have to know a little bit about the horses running elsewhere. I mean, if you don't get it, it's no big problem. It's nice. That's the kind of horse you want to get, but there's a little extra work involved. So.
Wanted to go back and look at lead on off of 6.5 furlongs. You'll see he ran a perfect 6.5 furlong race to stretch out. I mean, a lot of things about the horse that would justify using the last race. That's how he's running now, period. And with a 1.3 something negative adjustment, you certainly haven't overdone it. Any questions on that race? Order, incidentally, the book starts screwing up about that point, but we'll guide you to. It wouldn't be one of my manuals if the pages were all in order.
That's your point.
Well, no, that
too.
He said he started typing it at all.
Yeah, Paul Ward. So, in any 42 would be a good page for you to review at home how to use a par generator to make these very same figures in a slightly different manner and coming up with the same numbers. I mean, 0.11, considering the way that Tom does it with phase three, is not much of a difference in using the UltraScan par generator. Okay, we'll go back to Tom in the next race then. We're getting pretty...
Where it possibly came from that extra bit of insight that Tom has in his use of phase three, so it's $500 down the drain, you can use UltraScan pure numbers. We have to make these concessions to Tom to keep him with us.
There you go.
He's had other offers.
Is it 14 now? All right. No, 40 is the annotated chart. You don't want that yet. What you want here is page 14.
Somebody peaked.
Somebody peaked. Okay. First off, average purse values. Dubai Tornado. I almost want to do this again. I have 48% written here. Somebody please do an APV on this horse.
Oh, lifetime, sure, okay, but he's a foreign horse.
Okay, lifetime 48%, I did write that in there, sure. Don't bother with this then, just leave it lifetime 48%. Angle arc, 88%. Magyar and Carajas, if you can make a case for those, be my guest. High touch, 85%. Yeah, 85. Harrison's turn, 87%. Northern provider, 73%. I hope you'll agree with me that average purse value is not the key to this race. These are some young horses that are about to go through their conditions, at least in the case of Harrison's Turn. They're not all that young, actually. A couple of them are four-year-olds. But nevertheless, the horses that are in the non-winners of one category, and probably their maiden win is about the only thing you have to figure. Contenders, the European horses, plus a grade one horse in Chile, isn't the same as a group one horse elsewhere. Okay? Read Quinn's condition book, and I think you'll get that clearly.
Don't start shivering in your boots, but if you're from Europe, watch out. That's their grade one.
I'll tell you,
I make it just about an automatic practice to eliminate horses from South America first time here, with a couple of exceptions. One is this man here, Warren Studi. Another is Henry Marino. And unless the field is absolutely empty, I eliminate him. Winningham once in a while. He's not even very good with South American horses, though.
Jim Quinn tried to get the class structure from South America when he wrote his book, and he tried again recently when I talked to him. And he said it's crazy down there. Many times it's political and has nothing to do with the class of the race. They just said, we want grade one, we'll make this one a grade one. And it's literally done. One person may decide, and you may very well find that he's the steward, he's an owner, and he's a jockey agent, you know. So it's crazy racing down there, and the grade one can mean a pretty good race, and it can also mean nothing.
Can I ask one other question sort of related to that? Why do so many of the finer horses seem to have their last race in December of 85? I don't understand that. I mean, it seems like, I thought there was a quarantine or something.
December of 85? Well, that's when racing ends in Europe.
Okay, so
see, they can't race when the ground freezes in over there. They have to stop.
They start in England on December 26th.
But you'll find that the sales over there tend to be in the fall. They'll race them in Europe. Our horsemen will go over it, look at the prime ones, bring them back. And throughout most of Europe, they can't race in January and February because it's frozen ground and snow and all that sort of thing. And they all race on turf.
But, you know, an unusual amount of horses that had their last race.
It's that there aren't that many owners going over and getting them, and they just happen to make their trips then.
Let's go for contenders here. What about Dubai Tornado?
All right, let me have
a show of hands. Who wants to keep Dubai Tornado? I got about two people. Anybody want to eliminate him? Potentially, there's 48 or 50 people that do, but all right.
There you go. I tell you, I kept him in
only to analyze the race. The second race back at Los Al, even though it's called an allowance of $15,000, Fairfax is not much stock, and Arcadius got his brains beat several times at that same level at Hollywood Park. Now, that's not a very strong race, but nevertheless, he ran pretty well, and we'll use that race in terms of the analysis. You're not wrong if you eliminated the horse. Because if you draw a line through the Los Alamitos race, I defy you to find a race that would win here. Ark. Can we hold this as a contender? Yeah, I think so too. High Touch. Is this a contender? I agree. No question about Harrison's Turn being a contender. Northern Provider. Do you want this horse in or not? Here's another one that Bob Latorre's horse beat.
Bob
Latorre, yes. He is. Boy, you're beating everybody. How about Northern Provider? Yeah, there or thereabouts. He's not a serious contender, but I would leave him in terms of the model construction again and for the process. But he's nothing to get too afraid of, although his second race back at Los Alamitos, Quality Jet is a pretty tough sprinter, and he was only beaten a length by the horse. So make of that what you will. Let's go for pace lines. Dubai Tornado, let's use that second race back and then penalize him for class. Angle Arc, Can we use the second race back here? Okay. We don't want to use the Oceanside Stakes on the turf. Well, we don't have to. High Touch. Yeah, the it's tempting to go back and use the June 8th sprint, but I would use the last race here and keep it current. If you use the June 8th sprint, I don't think anybody's going to slap your hand. Because the last race indicates that he's probably in about the same form he was in that race. Harrison's Turn. Can we use the last race? Sure. It's at the level. It's a good race. He was pinched at the start, which doesn't help a whole lot, but we'll still use it. He was right in the race. And Northern Provider. Let's use the last race because at least it's at a major racetrack and it's not at Los Alamitos. So we have five contenders, of which several of them aren't serious at all. Angle Arc. Well, let's start with Dubai Tornado. I back up just a moment. I chose to make an arbitrary par for this race of 54.40 because that pretty much corresponds with the chart that I used. That keeps me, again, using the numbers that I like to look at. What did I say? 54.40. Dubai Tornado's race at Los Al is 54.60. Now I'm working on page 40. It's time to peek. Is 54.60, which makes the initial adjustment on this horse minus 0.20, and then I nailed this horse for three levels of class. Anybody have any problem with that three levels of class? Okay.
I don't understand what the actual class level is here. It's an allowance, but you know what the money is.
Well, that's okay. It's a non-winner's a one, because that's what this horse is eligible for. And I also happen to know that Arcadius is a non-winner's a one. Okay, so it's the same level. And the track itself is three levels below.
You always have that problem with allowance. If you say allowance 15, and you just kind of, sometimes you get, yes, you might be non-winner's a two. If they're coming down from Long Acres, and it just says allowance 16 or something, you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And they run some crazy. You know, maybe an allowance for non-winners of three since June last year. They run some crazy stuff. And you just kind of have to, because you're not going to get charts for long
either. Well, you're looking at the
white
pass record,
7.14.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah.
Three
double track adjustments.
Yeah.
Because it's Los Alamitos?
Three of them.
All three of them.
Because it's Los Alamitos.
Yeah. Now, if you want to use a two-level adjustment, fine. I mean, you know, I just, if, you know, I got to tell you, it's not as critical as some of this sounds, because you're looking for the early-late relationships. And you can't go far wrong if you're one level off. See, 0.10, 0.15 will affect factor W, but it's not going to affect your early-late very much. So it's not quite as critical as it sounds. What you try to do is get it as close as you can, and then say, that's close enough for government work.
Okay. And if we were to use Northern Provider, we'd also use three.
Northern Provider?
Yeah.
Let's get to that.
We're all going to use Northern Provider.
Or any adjustment for the first 15 minutes to 20? That's pretty much how we're doing it anyway.
I'm just using it from a track class. Horses that run terrible at Hollywood Park run super at Los Al. When they move them down to Del Mar, they run terrible again. That's the kind of racetrack you're dealing with over there. Horses that are getting beat 15 lengths in maiden at Los Al. That's the kind of racetrack, that's the kind of structure you got over there. Now, some of the races, like this Orange County Handicap, those are good horses. But some of the races also are very poor. Okay. And if you penalize that two levels, do it. I mean, it's not going to change the early late much. Angle Arc. We use the second race back, which makes the initial adjustment minus 0.54. Now, I got to tell you, this one is kind of critical how you handle this next adjustment. I penalized this horse because of the fact that he's a three-year-old. I penalized him one level. If he'd have been an older horse running at $80,000, I'd upgrade him in a non-winner's a one. But because he's a three-year-old, I downgraded him, especially if you look at his performances in non-claiming races. Look at them. On May 21st, he runs in a non-claiming race after winning a 62.5 race at Hollywood Park. And, of course, on July 23rd, he's in a non-claiming race. So I penalized him one level. If you don't do that, okay. But the point is, with an older horse, the transference from an $80,000 claiming race to a non-winner's a one is a drop in class. With a three-year-old, that's kind of, it's kind of a close call. And because of his performance in non-claiming races, I penalized him one level.
Which one, the 80?
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't have penalized him. In fact, I'd give him a push on that.
But that was not. Keen Knight and Trojan Trick are both three-year-olds. Okay.
So you have to know what the conditions were of that race.
That's one of the points
in the whole process, yes. To know the racetrack.
So you have to keep the data bank.
No, or either that or you have to... You just have to... consider his age, three. Okay? Most of the time, they're still running in three-year-old races when they're in claiming races at this time, at that time of year, in May and June. Some of the allowance races are open to three-year-olds and up. Not many of the claiming races are. Now, if they run in a $50,000 or $60,000 claiming race, it's liable to be for three-year-olds and up because we're into August. Do a little research. That's the whole point here. That's going to get you. Now, if you don't penalize Angle Arc, okay, too. You're still going to get the winner of the race.